some people just, when you say autism, they're like disability, disability, disability. And I'm not saying they're wrong. Like, it's in the d dictionary. Our worldview is disability, but like, is a disability only in autism or only in someone who can't physically walk? Like, what is actually a disability? And then that's where we joked about, and we said, for example, if I can't change a tire on a vehicle, does that mean I just can't change a tire, or is that a disability?
This is the Unspecial Podcast. Today I'm with Christian Armstrong. I always love to learn about individuals with autism and obstacles they've overcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Zach, really appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Tell me about your journey with autism.
Yeah, so my journey with autism, I was actually, when I was first diagnosed, or even before when I was showing signs, I was considered by a lot of doctors nonverbal. I would not make eye contact with anybody, my own parents, my own sisters. It was pretty hard, pretty scary for a while. You've obviously heard of the fetal position, I assume, right? Yeah, so when I was just a couple of years old, basically my whole life, someone tried to talk to me or I felt overwhelmed or overstimulated, I would have my hands buried in my knees and curled up in a fetal position as if that was my coping mechanism for a lot of years growing up.
Tell me about school. How was it going
Yeah.
through those days?
It was very nerve-wracking, very scary. I know the last thing I wanted when it was like elementary school days, the last thing I wanted was a teacher to ask me like a question in front of the class. Like I hated all eyes on me back then. It was very much, wanted to keep to myself, wanted to sit in the corner. When I did get called on, it was very much like, fetal position, very soft spoken, very much like lots of pauses. Just it almost made the situation worse, but at the same time, I didn't know what to do. I just panicked.
Yeah. So then you said your parents were super supportive, which is amazing. Did they
Yeah.
start like early intervention? They get you going on a bunch of services?
Not that I can recall, believe it or not. It was actually, I also know that back then, because I was diagnosed in 2001. So in 2001, it was not very accessible, if you can remember, for like a lot of people, like supporting neurodiversity or, all these programs kind of thing. So for me, it was back in those early days, it was, parents and teachers sitting down with me one-on-one saying, kind of learning me and saying, how does your brain operate?
How would you describe autism?
Well, this is actually an interesting question, because if you asked me back when I was like a kid growing up through elementary, middle school, high school, I would tell you that it's a full-on disability, that we're almost not as smart or not as good as, neurotypical people without autism. But now that I've grown up and really learned more about it and kind of come into my own and discovered more about life myself, I would tell you autism is a full different way of learning, a new ability. And I always like to use the term, I tell this actually to kids and teachers when I go speak at school. I say, look, if all of us, if 99% of the population starting tomorrow was all of a sudden diagnosed with autism, I don't think we'd see autism as a disability anymore, would we? And they all say no. And it's like, so how come someone different who has a different part of the brain that works differently and learns differently, how can we say they're lesser than? And that's what I think.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you face on a day-to-day basis with your autism?
Yeah. So the challenges on a day-to-day basis would be very much like a sense of direction, or like even when someone's explaining to me something like how to do something, it's almost like there's this, it almost feels like a a brain blockage where I'm trying so hard to grasp what someone is trying to explain to me. And a lot of the time, in order for me to get it, like I have to repeat what they're saying back to me a lot of times. And sometimes it will be like, can you give me an example or can you show me what you mean by this? Because I'm a very hands-on learner, so I actually have to do it in order for my brain to understand it.
How does it play out on the job site?
Well, we're in like a prefab shop, so our walls get shipped to site. But yeah, you're right. It's a lot of it is, all my workers actually know I'm autistic because I'm kind of like an open book. I used to be nervous to tell people, but now I'm like, no shame, I'm just going to tell them. Sometimes it's very hard because you can see them getting frustrated, even though when they're not trying to come across it, because they're probably thinking, this is so easy, how do you not get it? But there's been a lot of stuff in the framing industry that I thought I would never be able to do that I can remember was super challenging when I first started. But I think that's why it just came to me thinking, well, if I've overcome how many obstacles before in my life, why can't I overcome this one? Just keep an open mind that, hey, I might get this one day. It may take months or years, but a lot of important people in my life always tell me, Christian, just because someone can understand something or grasp something or do something at the job within a month, if it takes you a couple of years, that's your journey, not theirs. Like,
It's so easy to get caught up in a victim mindset. How have you overcome all that or got to this place in such
yeah.
a strong mindset?
I still struggle with mental health myself, and I'm no angel. I still beat myself up, and I'm sure autism has a lot to play in that. And I do what works for me. And if I have a really, really bad day at work or something really went wrong, I know what works for me is I usually talk to my wife or call her like on the way home or when I get home and say, let me rant, this is what's going on. Or sometimes when she's not available, I actually give my dad a phone call. And I just need someone to speak into me at that time, because even if I already have the answer on what I need to do, my brain and the way I am, like the way Christian is I need someone to encourage me. And it's funny because, a lot of people will say, what if you already know the answer? Why do you need someone to tell you that? It's, well, think of it like, when I give speeches and I encourage students, like I struggle with that stuff too sometimes, but I struggle with that stuff too. And I'm sure those students and those teachers, I'm sure a lot of them already know half of the answers that I'm already presenting in my speech. But the human mind, I find the human mind is, we need that person to uplift us. Us human beings, we're not meant to do life alone. We're meant to do life together. And I think that's why it's so powerful of, stop trying to do everything by yourself and get as many supporters and people surrounding you as you possibly can.
Yeah, that's huge. And I know a lot of the families that I've worked with, spoke with, had on the podcast. That's just our natural tendency is to try and do it all alone.
Yeah.
But it's yeah, with numbers and a support group and a community, it makes the journey that much easier. And I have a book coming out in about 3 weeks. And it's 12 stories from my teaching days from the classroom. And then I relate them back to life and God and the Bible and how I was able to take those stories and shift my perspective and mindset and make my days special. And I was reading through all the edits and everything and telling my wife, I was like, I write all this stuff and it seems like I have it all figured out. But as I'm reading this, I'm like convicted because I'm not even doing what I'm writing. But
Yeah.
how did you meet your wife?
We actually met online.
How was the whole like dating process? Was it, or like when did you tell her you have autism, or how did that come up?
It's It didn't, I didn't tell her on, I know I didn't tell her on the first date. It was, I don't know if it was the second or third. It was a couple dates in I told her, but the reason I didn't tell her right away is because I want this woman to see me for me.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of us like who are trying to be like great people, like we try our best not to judge or stereotype it. We all do it by guilt or by human nature, but just because there was a good chance, I was like, I'm just gonna talk about stuff other than autism. And when the autism did come up, it was, oh, I never would have thought. But then of course, as we got to know each other more and more, it's that's where she's like, oh, okay, that's where I see the autism in you because I know you better now. I see it there.
Well, I mean, that's cool. It doesn't even didn't it wasn't a big deal. I
Yeah.
mean, that's how you know you found the right one, right?
What's funny is I have a friend of mine where we were talking about autism and stuff and just hanging out, and he was telling me that he doesn't know if he has autism or not. He's not diagnosed. He's considered to like just as a neurotypical, at least for people right now, but he still doesn't know. But we were joking about how some people just when you say autism, they're like disability, disability, disability. And I'm not saying they're wrong. Like, it's in the d dictionary. Our worldview is disability, but we were talking and we were thinking more and more, and we're like, what is disability? Like, can we really break down what a true disability is? Like, is a disability only in autism or only in someone who can't physically walk? Like, what is actually a disability? And then that's where we joked about, and we said, for example, if I can't change a tire on a vehicle, does that mean I just can't change a tire, or is that a disability?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's so cool. Yeah, I think everyone's so quick to say disability, but it's like you said, I like your definition. It's a new ability with a different way of learning. What are your some misconceptions about autism that you would address?
I would say that a lot of people don't give autism a chance to see the gifts. What a lot of people see is they see the flaws, the negatives. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot. Like, there are a lot, but I would like to argue that there is a couple gifts in there that they don't see the brilliance in the human being.
Yeah. What do you think it would take to shift some mindsets and help society overcome these misconceptions?
I think with mindsets is, it's like what I talk about to people with inclusion. I know we've come a long way with inclusion. I still like to believe we're still far from it. Just an optimism kind of perspective, because, and I'll give you a pure, like a good example of it, is I hear so much on social media with, neurodivergence, families with autism, ADHD, you name it. They'll say, in order to keep us sane and manage, we need to keep neurotypicals and neurodivergence separate. And I'm not saying all people do this, but I have heard people talk about this, where they say, let's have workplaces with just only autism and neurotypicals only be with their neurotypical people. And I think that's tearing people apart. You talk about inclusion, that's not inclusion.
Not at
Like,
all.
if we want to all thrive together, I always say, like, go find a friend who doesn't have autism. If you don't have autism, go find a friend who has autism.
Yeah. And I wrote in my book, I wrote about a story in woodshop class. Which, okay, maybe that wasn't the best class for him, but he was a ninth grader. He was a dude. He loved power tools. And the class was, we had it all planned out for it to be successful, and it was for about a month, and then then we had a situation. the sander broke, and then he wanted to fix it, and then he was chasing around everybody trying to sand him. But it was a good learning experience, and he had a great time. But what are some things you do to take care of yourself and keep the positive mindset?
One thing I really like to do is I love to follow up with family and friends. My biggest thing about myself is I'm 100% honest with how I feel. I'm just brutally honest and say, this is what's I'm going on, this is what I'm feeling right now. And yes, it does come at a cost because I'm extremely sensitive. I with my autism, I do have panic attacks, breakdowns still to this day. But I think it's a blessing in a way too, because a lot of people, like guys like you and me, like a lot of guys are taught to hold their emotions in, which is so tough and not healthy in a lot of ways, where with me just like talking to my family, talking to my friends, say this is what's going on, I'm always left feeling really refreshed and really like my cup full.
How about like when you're in, say you're having a meltdown at work, what would be the best way for your like coworkers to support you? Just like give you space?
I think it would mean a lot to me if they noticed what was going on, and a lot of them came over and actually gave me a hug and said it's going to be okay, and then give me space to go for a walk. Because I think a lot of it is, I mean, it's not all their fault. A lot, they probably don't have autism, they don't get it. I think a lot of us are still learning autism. When someone has a breakdown, we just think, oh, they've had a rough day, let them be. No, it's actually they might need to be comforted. And I wish that was something that more people in the workplace would try and take the time to understand.
No, that's I learned this the hard way. I think it was like my first day in class, my first day teaching. I was teaching in front of the class, and one of my students was right there, and I was in his space. I was too close, and I was asking him too many things too fast. And then he like tried to take my eyeball out. He scratched me pretty good. And I remember the day ended, and I sat and I just kind of reflected and was like, what happened in that situation? And it was exactly what you said. It was like, all right, too many prompts. And I didn't allow him any time to respond. I was in his personal space. And then I asked one of my staff, I was like, can you do exactly what I just did to him? And then it was like, no wonder I want to punch you in the face too.
You know what's funny about that is I've kind of learned, especially actually in like a marriage and relationship that I'm in now, like when I was single, I thought differently, but being in a marriage or relationship, it really teaches you like a lot of life skills, I've noticed too. Because especially now, like before I was single, but now being a married man, when someone tells me this person, did this to me, like if someone was to come up to me and say, this person said this rude thing to me at work, my first question would be, what did you do to set them off? Because it's always two sides to the story. It's not just one side. You're always going to hear a different side that's very valid from someone else.
Right. And the person saying it thinks their side is the side.
Yeah.
That's good. Tell me about Christian Motivates. What was the inspiration behind that, and how did you get that going?
Honestly, it was a bit of a year, 2 year story behind that is, so I'm actually an actor at heart. So I did a lot of acting growing up, and my dream was to be a professional actor, get into the movies, stage, all that stuff. And before motivational speaking ever started, I was having a very hard time getting in the casting room, in front of casting directors. In fact, I was going through a lot of depression, mental health, like just not doing well. And I think a lot of it had to do with a lot of the industry, because I love acting. I'm an actor at heart, but the business of it, that side of things, sucks in a lot of ways, because I was surrounded by an environment of actors and teachers always saying, not good enough. You got to do this as an actor. All these actors, you're looking at them, how good they're doing. They have their cliques, and it's just a very rejectful business. You did this one thing, I don't like it, go home. Like, you go on and forth about the business of acting in Hollywood, where I was just not doing well, and I'm a Christian and believer myself, where I feel like it was just God tugging at my heart, who said, drop your acting agency. And I don't want to do that. Like, it's my dream. He's just drop it. And I felt like that was tugging at my heart. And for the first few months, it was just, going to work like an average job. Just, I don't want to think about acting. I don't want to, I'm just doing the life. And I started getting into listening to motivational speaking videos. Some of my, I really enjoyed like Eric Thomas, guys like that, just like listening to them, just because I wasn't doing well mentally. So I was like, I need something to help motivate me throughout my days. I started doing that. And I remember in my life, a lot of people always said, you're very inspiring, Christian. You're very motivating. You got a powerful story. And so I started trying doing a couple videos. And they weren't great at first because, you're first getting into it. And I first started posting a few videos. And a couple people started saying, hey, like, I love that video. You're so inspiring. And then it was kind of like thinking, hey, maybe I could do something like this. And I thought about my story being, overcoming adversity with autism and how many families and, people I can help, even people who don't have autism, like adversity obstacles in their life. So then I, with the whole Christian Motivates thing, with the story behind this is I wasn't planning on calling it Christian Motivates because I had a different name in mind. But the whole social media thing to start the videos that were just average videos on social media, but I just, for whatever reason, just put at the very bottom, like in social media letters, Christian Motivates, my name underneath it. And people started saying, hey, your business, Christian Motivates. You got some cool videos going on there. And so ever since them saying that that's a cool thing you put there, it just kind of stuck. So I just started doing it more and more. And then, of course, that's what I should call my business. That's what I should put my website, ChristianMotivates.com. Then came the merchandise for Christian Motivates, and ever since then, I just never looked back.
Oh, I love it. And we can close it up with a few more questions to others that have autism. Like, what advice would you give them and encouragement?
Yeah. I would say with in the early stages, just like I was, it's going to seem a lot like there's no light at the end of the tunnel because, I was there too, and it felt like that. So in the stages right now, I want to encourage people listening is don't be so hard on yourself. I know you are, and I know I am too sometimes, but take it day by day and trust the process. Trust the process. And if you don't hear anything I just said, this is what I really want you to listen to. Focus on the small wins. The small wins will always lead to the big wins. Celebrate the small wins because that will eventually lead to your big victory one day.
That's awesome. Where can people find you?
You can go find me at my website, christianmotivates.com. Also, you could follow me on Instagram, which is Christian Armstrong underscore motivates underscore again. And yeah, you can send me a personal message. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get to know you and see how I can support you. If you know anyone who might be interested in having a speaker for their school, their work company, or a sports team, I'd love to connect with you on that. I'd love to serve you and best support you and speak to your group the best way I can. So always available for and versatile in many ways.
Yeah, so good, so good. I think the thing that stuck out to me most in this conversation is what you said. It's a new ability, a different way of learning. I think we can all take that to heart and learn from that for sure. And just the ins and outs of autism. Super fascinating conversation. Thankful you were able to come on. I appreciate it, bro. Have a good night.
Yeah, you as well. Take care.